All right, well, good morning. I'm Pastor Chaz. If for those of you who do not know me, very few in here, I'm going to guess. Does anybody, guys, how good does it feel when you get that fresh haircut? You know, I was combing my hair and I thought, man, I was like, that feels so good to have a fresh haircut. You know it's going to be a good day. That fresh feeling, you know. I'm sure ladies have a, you know, feel good after they get a haircut, get their hair done or whatever. Just, you know, it's going to be a good day, right? Today is going to be a good day. Amen. So welcome. So what's interesting about today, April 13th, 2025, is today lines up exactly with Passover. Exactly. And it's an unusual thing because we do not adhere to the Jewish calendar. We adhere to a Gregorian calendar. Our days and months are way different than the days and months that were in the Bible. But today lines up with both. Obviously, for us, Palm Sunday. For Christians, celebrate Palm Sunday. But believers all together, Jewish and Christian, both celebrate Passover. So today is Passover, and that's awesome. I love it when it lines up because it's kind of aggravating when Passover is after Easter Sunday. It's kind of aggravating. I'll get more into that here in a little bit, but I'm here this morning to preach on a sermon entitled Timing is Everything. Timing is Everything. And in God's economy, in God's estimation, in God's world, timing is everything. And if we would search the scriptures, if we would read the Bible, we will come to a great understanding of how perfect God's timing is. So this morning, we're going to, through the scriptures and through the preaching here, we're going to reveal how perfect God's timing was in everything He did, including Passover, and especially Passover. So if you'll turn with me to Galatians chapter 4, verse 4 and 5, we'll begin reading there. When you get there, say amen. If you didn't bring a Bible, we still have it up here on the screen. If you're not there yet, say, wait a minute. How many knows God's timing's perfect? Perfect. There was never a moment in time where God's timing was not perfect. Galatians chapter 4, verse 4 and 5. But when the fullness of time, everybody say fullness of time. That was pretty weak. Everybody say fullness of time.
Fullness of time.
I enjoy audience participation in case you didn't know. When the fullness of time had come, God sent forth His Son, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem those who were under the law, that we might receive the adoption as sons. And if you're female, a daughter. Let's pray. Father God, we love You. It's our privilege, honor, and prayer, Lord, today to come into Your house. Lord, to meet with You again. Lord, to hear Your word. Lord, to interact with You, God. And Lord, I pray that, Lord, as I preach Your word, God, that, Lord, You would send out the Holy Spirit to reveal Your truth to Your people, God, that we might be full when we leave this place, full of Your word, full of love, full of goodness, full of everything that You want us to have today. Holy Spirit, speak through me. Anoint me for this purpose and for Your glory. And we ask it all in Jesus' wonderful name. Amen. Amen. One thing you can absolutely count on 100% of the time is God's strategic timing. You can count on what He says 100% of the time. Why? Because without fail, everything that He promised us in the Old Testament has come in true exactly as He says it in the New Testament. What He had promised before, He will bring to fruition in time, in the fullness of time, including His Son, Jesus Christ. This is why Passover is so very important, for it is the evidence of the plan of God and the hand of God at work to bring redemption to humanity through His Son, Jesus Christ, the Lamb of God. He is the Lamb of God. And we've heard that over and over since we were in Sunday school. We've heard that in church. And to this morning, I want to bring a new perspective to you on what this Lamb was really about and how God's timing was perfect. So what we're going to do is we're going to begin in the final 6 days of Jesus' life on earth. God's timing is perfect. He knows the end from the beginning. Therefore, he can plan out everything he wants to in a strategic manner. And what he does here in Passover is nothing more than astounding. It's nothing more than astounding. And you can place your faith and trust in him according to what he has given to us in his word. Amen. It's the word that teaches us. It's the word that informs us of who God is and how great he is and how wonderful he is and how perfect he is in perfect timing. So we're going to start with the day Nisan 9. Now, you're asking the question in your mind right now, what in the world is Nisan 9? And I'm going to explain it to you. Now, the Jewish calendar is totally unlike our calendar. Sometimes they have 13 months in their calendar. But here's what I want to tell you about Nisan, the month Nisan. God claimed it to be the first month of the year for the Jews, coming out of the enslavement in Egypt. So what God tells them to do, and if you go back in your mind and picture the first Passover when God delivered the Jews out of Egypt, we understand that God tells them that on Nisan 10 is the day you should pick out a lamb. Nisan 10. So understanding what Nisan 10 is, it's the next day after Nisan 9. Nisan 9 is an important day, and I'm going to show you why. Because it's 6 days till Passover. If we'll look at John chapter 12, verse 1. We're going to read a very interesting story. And the story is set in a town called Bethany. And Bethany is a place where a man named Lazarus lived and died. And how many remembers that Jesus called Lazarus forth? After 4 days of being dead, Jesus calls him out of the tomb and says, Lazarus, come forth. And Lazarus lived. Now here's the story. John chapter 12, verse 1. And then 6 days before the Passover, which is Nisan 9, Jesus came to Bethany, where Lazarus was, who had been dead, whom he had raised from the dead. There he made a supper, and Martha served, but Lazarus was one of those who sat at the table with him. Understand the concept. They're having a feast. They're having a great party because Lazarus is alive, who was dead. So Jesus, this is about a week later, Jesus comes back to Lazarus' place and they have a great feast. Now, something happens here at this party. And we're going to get into that in just a second if we read verse 9 through 11. Now a great many of the Jews knew that he was there. And they came not for Jesus' sake only, but they might also see Lazarus. If you raise someone from the dead, they will come. Right? But not for his sake only, but that they might also see Lazarus, whom he had raised from the dead. But the chief priests plotted to put Lazarus to death also, because on account of him, many of the Jews went away and believed in Jesus. Now imagine this, that you're Lazarus, okay? You got sick and you died. You was in a tomb for 4 days, and they told him that he stunk. He was dead for 4 days, and you're going to start stinking after 4 days. But Jesus called him forth, and the spoken word of Jesus Christ, the Son of God, brought life to Lazarus. Lazarus come forth, and here we are celebrating the resurrected Lazarus, and they want to kill him again. But because Jesus absolutely messed up everything for the priests and the Sadducees and the Pharisees in Jerusalem and the temple. He messed it all up. But here's the point. Jesus was supposed to come and mess it up. Jesus was born that he might come and mess it up. But they came together for this big feast, and then people start coming out of the woodwork to come and see this Lazarus who was claimed to be dead and is alive again. And they witnessed something spectacular and amazing that they never thought they would witness with their own eyes ever in their life. They witnessed a resurrected man. It's never happened before, but it's happening now. I want you to know something. God's timing is perfect and strategic. Why did they come back to see Lazarus? Because the next day was Nisan 10. And I'm going to get into that in a second. So God had strategically set up this dinner party to celebrate a resurrected Lazarus for something else. See, God's like playing pool here. How many's ever played pool? And if you're going to win at pool, you don't go for the shot that you have. You go for the next shot after that, and the next shot after that, and the next shot after that. God's playing pool on a 3D kind of system and 3D kind of way. He's setting up something else when he's making this shot over here. He resurrected Lazarus so he can do something else. God is strategic, and his timing is perfect. The next day was Nisan 10. And in John chapter 12, verse 12 through 15, it reads like this. The next day, everybody say the next day.
The next day.
Nisan 10. A great multitude that had come to the feast when they heard that Jesus was coming to Jerusalem took branches of palm trees and went out to meet him and cried out, Hosanna! Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord, the King of Israel. Then Jesus, when he had found a young donkey, sat on it as it is written, Fear not, daughter of Zion. Behold, your king is coming, sitting on a donkey's colt. Let me back up for just a second. The next day, Nisan 10, a great multitude came. Why? Did they know that Jesus was coming to ride in on a donkey? If they were paying attention to Scripture, they did. Zechariah 9:9 in the Old Testament predicted that Jesus, the Messiah, would come riding on a donkey, on not only just a donkey, it was a colt, the foal of a donkey. And if you do your research, you'll understand that Jesus rode in on a colt, the foal of a donkey. It wasn't something that just happened out of thin air. It happened because God said it was going to happen. It happened because God predicted it would happen. And Jesus fulfilled everything the Scripture ever said about him in the past. He did it in the present. It's an amazing thing that God would set up a party one day to set up a coronation the next day. Come on, somebody. Jesus rode in on a donkey, like Corey said. He didn't ride in on a white stallion coming to conquer. He came in to save. He rode, the Bible says in Zechariah 9:9, he said he'd come in lowly on a donkey. The lowly part is this. In his humility, as the Son of God, he came in to save a world that would reject him, to save a priesthood that would reject him, to save a Pharisees and Sadducees that would reject him. But we don't reject him because we know he's the plan of God. And that's why it makes this such a great thing. Zechariah 9:9. Why was Jesus coming to Jerusalem? Passover. Passover. Passover is coming. Nisan 9 is a very important day. Very important day. Because Jesus would enter into Jerusalem where he would be inspected for 5 days. Now, I'm going to get to that here in a little bit, in a few minutes. But Jesus, the Lamb of God, needed to be inspected for 5 days, and I'll show you why. But he was coming to Jerusalem on purpose. He was coming for Passover. And so God set it up. God's timing is so perfect. God, so perfect. John 12, 17 and 18. Therefore, the people who were with him when he called Lazarus out of the tomb and raised him from the dead bore witness. Bore witness. For this reason, the people also met him. What was the reason? They were there to be witnesses. Somebody's got to get this anytime now. They set up a party for Lazarus because they're setting up Jesus riding in on a donkey, because they're setting up something else for Passover, because God wanted there to be witnesses. If Jesus came riding into Jerusalem on a donkey and there was nobody to see it, did he ride it on a donkey? Who was going to write it down? Who was going to let us know that he was coronated king? Who was going to tell us that they waved palm branches and laid them at his feet and put their coats and jackets on the donkey as he was riding into Jerusalem? Nobody. He needed witnesses. How would they know that Jesus was crucified and resurrected if there were no witnesses? But God knew the end from the beginning. On the very day that the lambs were set out for inspection on Nissan 10. 5 days inspection. For Passover in Jerusalem, Jesus enters Jerusalem to be inspected for 5 days. What happened in those 5 days? Jesus taught in the temple. Jesus healed people. Jesus did all kinds of stuff. Jesus, matter of fact, Jesus went into the temple and wrecked the money changers. You guys remember that story. A lot happened in them 5 days. And he was questioned over and over and over and over by the chief priests, by the Pharisees, by the Sadducees, by everybody. He was fully inspected as the Lamb of God. I hope you guys are following me this morning because it's some incredible stuff. Did you know that Bethlehem is known as the land of lambs? Oh, let me go back there. Let me show you how perfect God is, how perfect His timing is. Somebody had to be born in Bethlehem who would become the King of the Jews. Somebody had to be born in Bethlehem that would become the Lamb of God. And did you know that that's where they keep the lambs? They kept the lambs in Bethlehem. You remember the story at Christmas? The shepherds were out keeping their flock, and the angel came and declared that Jesus would be born, and you'll find him in a manger. Why would you find him in a manger? Because he's in the land of lambs. The lambs that were prepared for the temple sacrifice were born, bred, and stayed in Bethlehem. The Lamb of God came from the land of lambs. It's an incredible. I hope you're getting a good mind picture of this. I hope you're getting a good understanding of how awesome and great God's timing and strategy is. Because nobody else could have fulfilled this prophecy of that Jesus fulfilled over and over and over again. And how do we trust this word of God? How do we trust that there was a lamb that was slain before the foundation of the world who died and sacrificed himself for us that we might have eternal life? Because he proves it to us over and over and over and over again. He predicts it. He tells it's going to happen. And it happens exactly the way he said it was going to happen. Someone say amen.
Amen.
Glory to God. He was Bethlehem was the land of lambs. Nisan 10 to Nisan 14. Very important days in the Jewish calendar. Again, I don't expect you to understand Jewish calendar. I don't expect you to understand Hebrew ways and all these other things. But what I do want you to understand is where God has strategically placed this lamb. Let's go to Exodus chapter 12. We're going to go back to the beginning here. Exodus chapter 12, verse 1 through 8. Now the Lord spoke to Moses and Aaron in the land of Egypt, saying, this month, Nisan, everybody say Nisan, this month shall be the beginning of months. It shall be the first month of the year to you. Speak to all the congregation of Israel, saying, on the 10th of this month, every man shall take for himself a lamb according to the house of his father, a lamb for a house. So what day was it? Nisan 10. Nisan 10. The 10th day of the first month, they had to bring out the lamb to be inspected. Jesus on the donkey, heading in Jerusalem, was to be inspected for 5 days, just like they said. And if the household is too small for the lamb, let him and his neighbor next to his house take it according to the number of persons, according to each man's need. You may make your count for the lamb. Your lamb shall be without blemish, a male of the first year. You may take it from the sheep or from the goats. Now you shall keep it until the 14th day. Everybody say 14th day.
14th day.
That's Nisan 14. Of the same month. Then the whole assembly of the congregation of Israel shall kill it at twilight. And they shall take some of the blood and put it on the two doorposts on the lintel of the houses where they eat it. And they shall eat the flesh on that night, roasted in fire. Somebody say barbecue. You know what's so cool about God? Is that we had to sacrifice a lamb, but then we got to eat it roasted in fire. And I apologize to the vegetarians and vegans. I can smell the lamb cooking over here and my mouth is watering. And don't you know, these people back in the day when God was delivering out of Egypt, they said, oh, we get to take a lamb, we get to roast it, we get to eat it. They were licking their chops because barbecue was coming. He's going to roast it with fire and with unleavened bread, and with the bitter herbs they shall eat it. So they get to eat what they sacrificed. That's awesome. Do you know that there was upwards of 250,000 lambs sacrificed in one day in Jerusalem when Jesus came in? They were busy in the temple from 9 a.m. all the way up to 3 p.m. And I'm going to get to that in a second. But on Nisan 10 was the five-day inspection marker. They had to be inspected. They had to be a male. They had to be 1 year old, the first year male, right? And they had to be spotless, without blemish. They had to be absolutely perfect. And if you ever showed lambs, Christy, Jim, you guys know what I'm talking about. That was the absolute top ranked lamb, period. It wasn't the ones with scars. It wasn't the one that didn't have an ear or a tail or this or that. It had to be an absolutely perfect lamb. And 250,000 of plus lambs, according to Josephus, a Jewish historian, there were more than 250,000 lambs slaughtered in a day. Can you imagine doing that, Jim? You might get out five, and if you're lucky, right? I don't know. I've never slaughtered a lamb before. I've eaten lots of lamb, and they're awesome. They're tasty. But can you imagine? They're inspected for 5 days, and they were sacrificed at twilight and eaten in the evening. Now, I want you to understand just really quick. Jewish day goes from 6 p.m. to 6 p.m., from evening to evening. And it actually changes a little bit according to the time of the year. They're flexible, kind of like Ritztown time. They're flexible, right? Now, in the evening, from 6 p.m. to 6 in the morning, they don't count the hours, they count watches. There's four of them, four watches. I didn't make that up. God did. I didn't do it. But what we all have to understand is they were killed at twilight, which means between the evenings. So at some point between the evenings, they were to kill this Passover lamb on the 14th. And they were to eat it in the evening. Now, I'm going to show you how that works out. Now, if we were going by the Hebrew calendar, today would be Nisan 14, 5785. Year 5785, but we're not. It's April 13th, 2025 for us American people. But I want to share with you the fact that the matter of that Jesus, when he came into Jerusalem, he came in for Passover. And he came to have Passover with his disciples. Oh, we call that communion. We call that the Last Supper. But in the Bible, it's called Passover. If you would read your scriptures, it's not Americanese. It's all, listen, this Bible was written by Jews, for Jews, and of the Jews. Every word is written by a Jew. Now listen, that doesn't mean that we have to be Jews, but it does mean that we get to be grafted in. Right? We get to be a part of the adoption. Remember I said that at the beginning? Right? He was crucified for us that we might be adopted as sons. We're adopted into the Jewish family, in case you didn't know, if you're a Christian at all. We're grafted in. We're adopted into this family. But everything in here in the scripture is written by Jews for Jews. Every disciple was a Jew. Jesus was a Jew. I hope you like Jews. It's going to be important someday. So Jesus enters in Jerusalem on a donkey. He does so to be inspected for 5 days, just like that we were just read in Exodus chapter 12. And on the 14th day at twilight, there was supposed to be a sacrifice of the lambs. But I want you to understand something here. Jesus, knowing that he would be the sacrificial lamb on twilight, Nisan 14, had to have Passover dinner with his disciples early on Nisan 14. A fact that blew my mind, as a matter of fact. But understand this, and it takes a lot of research to figure this stuff out. Because we don't hear about this, because it seems like it might be a boring topic to some people. I don't know. It's exciting to me. I love Passover. I love everything about Passover. I love what God did on Passover. And I love what Jesus did on Passover. I'm smelling that lamb right now, hardcore. And I'm getting ready. Is it time to eat yet? But Jesus had this Last Supper. He said, I've longed to have the Passover with you. He's talking to his disciples. He washed their feet. He broke bread and said, this is my body broken for you. What he was doing was he was talking about the unleavened bread of Passover. Because right after the Passover lamb was to be sacrificed, the very next day started the Feast of Unleavened Bread and lasted 7 days. And what the Jewish people would do is they would take all the leaven out of their entire house. If they would sweep the house, they would comb the house, look for any kind of leaven at all in their house, and they would get rid of it. Why? Because it represented sin. God told them, he said, get your lamb, roast it in fire, eat it in the evening, don't let none of it last until the morning. If you have any leftover, throw it in the fire. Make your bread unleavened because you got to get out of here quick. And he got them out of Egypt. And the whole significance of the unleavened bread means it had to be something that was without leaven, without sin, without blemish, right? So we're talking about, and listen, Passover, the entirety of Passover includes Passover day and then the Feast of Unleavened Bread for 7 days. And I don't expect you guys to understand all that, and that's okay. But Harold, what I want you to understand is this, that he came together with his disciples on his Last Supper, what we call communion, the Passover meal, and he broke his bread, and then he took the cup, and when he drank, they all drank the cup, and he said, drink this, this is my blood shed for you for the remission of sin. Listen, where in the world did Jesus come up with this concept of this blood stuff? From Passover. Why? Because on Passover, they took the lamb, they slaughtered the lamb, they took some of its blood, they put it over the lintel of the doors and on the doorpost and signified this house is blood bought. Some would say blood bought. There was blood that purchased the redemption of this home when the death angel would come over through the towns that they would pass, he would pass over their house. I want you to understand something. When the death angel comes for you, he's not coming for just your physical death. He's coming for your eternal death. And here's the deal. When you have the blood of the Lamb applied to your life, he's got to pass over you. He's got to go on to somebody else because you were bought under the blood. The Lamb of God was slain for you and his blood was shed for you. And when you apply that to your life, you apply that blood to your heart, the death angel has no business in your home or anywhere near you. And that, my friends, is Passover. So he had Passover dinner early. He said, this is a new covenant in my blood. Now, the old covenant was the Mosaic covenant, which was what we just read about in Exodus chapter 12. There was a covenant established between God and Moses and the people of God. And from there, in today's terms, Jesus came to fulfill that and became his blood became the new covenant. I'm so glad that we live under the new covenant. You know why? Because Jesus paid the price for it. All I have to do is receive it. All I have to do is say, yes, apply that blood to my life. Yes. That's all I got to do. I ain't got to slaughter no animals. I ain't got to go, absolute hard day, time, any of those things. All I have to do is apply his blood to my life. And the Passover lamb satisfies every requirement. Why? Because it was perfect. He had to be spotless. So he would become the Passover lamb at twilight on Nisan 14. That is the day. Nisan 14, twilight. Now listen, it's just a few ticks away from Nisan 15. Why? Because the Jews, 6 p.m. to 6 p.m., not like us. We're a midnight to midnight, right? We're a 24-hour clock. Theirs was 12. Theirs was broke up into 12 hours, right? 6 to 6, 6 to 6. So at twilight, is when this Passover lamb had to be slaughtered. Now watch this. At the third hour, they began the process. The priest began to take the lambs in. They began to slaughter the lambs and offer the sacrifice and roast them in fire. The Bible tells us at 9 a.m., Jesus met the cross. You see, he went through an entire night going to court. He went to the high priest court. He went to Pilate's court. And Pilate inspected him. He said, I find no fault in him. Of course, he would not find no fault in him because he was the perfect Lamb of God. And he sentenced him to crucifixion, to death on a cross. And so Jesus went to the cross at 9 a.m. It was the third hour, according to the Jews. The third hour is when they begin to slaughter the lambs. At noon, which is the sixth hour, the sky turned black. The sky turned dark. And the whole earth began to tremble. Why? Because the suffering Lamb of God was on the cross. His blood was flowing down the cross. And you can imagine the blood at the top of the cross where they had the crown of thorns on his head. The blood at the top and the blood at the sides because the nails were driven through his hands. So you find the lintel covered with blood. You find the doorposts covered with blood. It was the blood of the Lamb of God. And it was at the very hour that they were sacrificing in the temple. At the ninth hour, which is 3 p.m., Jesus said, Father, into your hands I commit my spirit. And he breathed his last breath. And he died. And if you were in Jerusalem at that day, and there were a lot of people there, why? Because they came to the party just a few days earlier, right? They came to the party. They were witnesses. They came to see Jesus riding in Jerusalem on a donkey. There were so many witnesses that day that witnessed Jesus dying on that cross that we can know today what he did. So at the very hour, 3 p.m., Jesus breathes his last. Now, original Passover, God used a lamb to deliver Israel out of slavery of Egypt. And on this Passover, God used Jesus, the Son of God, the Lamb of God, to deliver us out of the slavery of sin. Someone say amen. Amen. Jesus became our Passover lamb to deliver mankind from the slavery of sin. Hundreds of thousands of lambs in the prior years have been slaughtered for this purpose, but Jesus brought it all together in one swoop. Once and for all. And he died for all. Not just for Jews, but for all mankind. Now, why couldn't Jesus be crucified on the 15th? Why did it have to be the 14th of Nisan? Why not the 15th? I'm glad you asked. Leviticus chapter 23 gives us a clue. Verse 5 through 7. On the 14th day of the first month at twilight, is the Lord's Passover. Remember I told you that. At twilight. And on the 15th day of the same month, Nisan 15, is the feast of unleavened bread to the Lord. 7 days you must eat unleavened bread. On the first day you shall have a holy convocation. You shall do no customary work on it. What was that? God declared it to be a Sabbath. Now, it wasn't an ordinary Sabbath. It wasn't the calendar Sabbath. It was a high Sabbath. It was, okay, you have a Sabbath, and we, you know, the American church, we claim Sunday as a Sabbath, and that's okay. Probably wasn't, but it's okay. This is our calendar. This is how we're doing things, right? But it was very specific to the Jews. It was very specific. You had to be on the money specific. Matter of fact, they started gathering up this leaven way, way early so that they could have no leaven in their homes while they celebrated the Feast of Unleavened Bread. On the 15th day was a high Sabbath. You could not do any work on the Sabbath. Which means this. Which means if Jesus was on the cross on the 14th of Nisan, He could not remain on the cross that night because just after twilight is Nisan 15. They had to get Him off of the cross before the 15th. Why? Because it was Sabbath. You cannot bring anybody, you couldn't do anything. You couldn't rescue a lamb out of a ditch. You couldn't do anything on a high Sabbath. Jesus had to come down off the cross right after He died. How do we know that they did that? Because it says that they sent a soldier up there to break the legs of those. Because remember, He died with a thief on either side of Him. And they went to break the legs of these thieves, and they did so they would die quicker. Understand what I'm talking about. Jesus started dying at 9 a.m. and He lasted until 3 p.m. And when they got to Jesus, they said, well, this guy's already dead. So they took a sword and they shoved it in the side of Jesus. And when they pulled it back out, water and blood came out, which meant they knew He was dead. Because the Scripture said not a bone of His body would be broken. Understand something. When God says it's going to be a specific way, it's going to be a specific way. How do I know that the Word of God is reliable and true and I can trust it and I can put my whole faith in it? I can trust my life with it? Because everything that He said was true is going to come true and it's going to happen exactly the way He said it, when He's going to say it, how He's going to say it. Everything. Not one iota was different than what He said would happen. And that's an incredible thing. God's strategic timing boxed it all in within the confines of Nisan 14. He could not remain on the cross until past 6 p.m. Period. Now, I could go in, listen, and I don't want to bore you with this kind of stuff, but I can go into this whole idea of a Good Friday, and I'm not going to do it. I'm not going to do it. I told Pastor, I'm not going to do it. I'm not going to do it. I think it was a Thursday. I told you I'm not going to do it, but here I am doing it. But understand something. Thursday starts at 6 p.m. And Jesus was in the heart of the earth for 3 days and three nights. And maybe some other day I will do that one. Because I'm thinking, if it's Good Friday and here's Sunday, that's something wrong. And I can show you through the Scriptures, and I'm not going to do it. I promised I would. It's almost dinner time. I'm not going there. So, how do we celebrate and honor Passover? Knowing what we know, how do we honor and celebrate Passover? Well, number one, we're going to have some lamb for lunch. That's one way. What greater way to symbolize that we understand that the Lamb of God was sacrificed for us and that we get to eat the sacrifice than to have lamb for lunch? We don't have any hard religious practices. We don't have any hard traditions here. But what we do have is celebration and remembrance, just like communion. We remember what Jesus did for us. And how do we do it? We celebrate it. We celebrate it. We have lamb for lunch. We gather together. They said you have to have in Exodus chapter 12, he talked about a holy conversation, Leviticus 23, he talked about a holy convocation. What's a convocation? It's a gathering. It's a gathering. Come together and witness what God's doing. And what God's doing among His people. He said, having fellowship, break the bread, eat the lamb, have a good time, celebrate, honor the Passover as we know it. Jesus has fulfilled the Passover as a Lamb of God, slain to take the judgment of God upon Himself as the atonement for our sins. His sacrifice is an instrument of atonement. I couldn't have done it for myself. Listen, as many sins as I've committed in my lifetime, there's no way I could ever have paid the price for any of them. There's not one thing I can do to atone for myself, but I understand this. 250,000 plus lambs were sacrificed in the temple, but how many of them was resurrected from the dead? Not one. But Jesus Himself was resurrected on the third day. He was born to die. He was born to be the Lamb of God. And He was raised from the dead on the... I'm not going to steal your thunder for next week. But here to tell you that there was no other Lamb in history that was resurrected from the dead. And it's an instrument of atonement for you and for me. All that we have to do is apply His blood. Do I have to work up on it? No. Do I have to lay on the ground and say 10 Hail Marys? No. Do I have to face the east and three times a day? No. I have to receive Him. I have to receive Him as a gift from God. Gifts are meant to be received. I receive the Lamb of God as a payment of the penalty of my sin. Period. How can I trust that what He did on the cross fulfilled everything I need Him to fulfill so that I can have the atonement, so that I can be forgiven, so that I can be redeemed? Everything I just told you. Jesus became the Passover lamb. He was born in the land of lambs. He was born to die a sacrificial death for you, for me, and everyone else who for whosoever will. He died for us all. I guess Corey's out there playing with the sacrifice out there. The Passover lamb. Can I have someone come to the music? No, we don't have anybody, do we? They're going to play a song? Okay. Have him come play a song for us.
No, they're
going to
play a song.
Right. I didn't get to... You can sing. Do I sing today? I used to sing. Then I got old. 1 Corinthians chapter 5. I hope you guys have enjoyed this today, because I've enjoyed telling you about it. First Corinthians chapter 5, verse 7 through 8. Therefore, purge out the old leaven, that you may be a new lump, since you truly are unleavened. Who did that? Jesus did that. For indeed Christ, our Passover, was sacrificed for us. Therefore, let us keep the feast, not with old leaven, nor with the leaven of malice and wickedness, but with the unleavened bread of sincerity and truth. How do I become unleavened? I'm glad you asked. There's only one way. How can I rid my life of sin? How can I be forgiven of all the sins I've ever committed? How can I keep myself from committing more sins in the future? There's only one way. There's only one way. Jesus Christ, the Lamb of God, slain before the foundation of the world, His blood sprinkled upon your heart, His blood applied to your life, a gift to be received, a gift to be adored, a gift to be applied. And we say this every week. Romans 10, 9 and 10, if you believe in your heart and confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus Christ, you will be saved. For with belief and confession comes salvation. If I believe in my heart and confess with my mouth the Lord Jesus Christ, if I believe that He's the Lamb of God, sacrificed for me, and I confess with my mouth Jesus Christ, the Son of God, the Lamb of God, my Lord and my Savior, confession is made unto salvation. How to become unleavened? Repent. Turn from sin. Turn to Christ. Turn from sin. Turn to Christ. Does that mean you have to be perfect all the days of your life? I'm gonna stand on this right now. None of us can fulfill it. You can try all you want. And listen, I try. We try. We're supposed to try. But will you ever be perfect? Absolutely never will be perfect in your own ways, on your own power. But God doesn't need to see that. He needs to see the love, the Lamb of God, His blood on your life. And that's the only thing that will purchase your redemption. Period. I can never be good enough. You can never be good enough. None of us could ever be good enough. But He was perfect, spotless, blameless, without sin or any shadow of sin. So if you're here today and you've never received Christ as your Lord and Savior, you've never received the blood of the Lamb of God applied to your life, let today be the day. Let right now be that time, because God's timing is perfect. His timing is perfect. You were not brought here today by accident. His timing is perfect. His timing is perfect. And no man can come to Christ lest the Holy Spirit draws him or her. None of us come. And I know the Holy Spirit is working right now, touching a heart, touching a life. Let's pray. Father, we love You. We thank You so much for the Passover Lamb, the Lamb of God, Your Son, Jesus Christ. The book of Revelation records the Lamb of God written 26 times. For a reason, we know. We understand that, Lord, from the beginning, You had a plan for a Passover Lamb. And that His blood would be shed for us, that we might have eternal life and salvation in Your name. And Lord, I pray for those here this morning, Lord, that have not yet applied that blood, have not received Jesus Christ into their lives, into their hearts. I pray for them right now, Lord, that You are touching them, that You are drawing them by Your Spirit. And those of us who may have wandered off, Lord, because lambs, sheep, we tend to wander off sometimes. We tend to go astray sometimes. Lord, I pray, reel us in, bring us back. We've already been redeemed, but we need to be a part of a flock. Lord, I pray right now, Lord, that You would just touch those. And touch, Lord, anyone here this morning that, Lord, needs a touch in their body. They may be sick. They may need a touch in their mind, in their heart, whatever they need. Lord, You know what we all need. And I pray this morning that there would be a time that You would meet those needs, because You are everything that we have need of and so much more. And we're grateful, we're thankful for that. And as we celebrate this Passover, as we honor You in the Passover, Lord, we pray that You bless our food, Lord. Bless the lamb that we're prepared to eat and everything else. I pray that we give You thanks and honor and glory for it all in Jesus' wonderful name. Amen and amen. If you're here this morning and you want to receive Jesus as your Lord and Savior, if you want to apply that blood to your life, I want to talk to you. I want to pray with you. Would you come to this altar? If there's anyone here this morning, they need a touch in their body. We are here to pray for you. Would you come to this altar? If there's anyone here this morning that just need encouragement from the Lord, you need to just connect with God this morning, this altar is open for you. And if you don't come to this altar this morning and you see me later on and say, hey, I want to receive Christ, I'll do that wherever you are. We'll do that wherever you are. It doesn't have to be here. It'll be done anywhere. This altar is open. I love this music. It's not really what I wanted, but that's okay. It's all right. We're going to break off for our Passover feast. And I've already prayed over the food, so we're good with that. So please stay for the Passover meal. And then there's an Easter egg hunt after that. Is that correct?
That's correct. Yes.
All right. It's been an honor and a privilege to have you here this morning to preach in this place. And so God bless you is our prayer. We love you. God loves you. You can be dismissed as soon as Pastor has something to say.
Thank you. Real quickly, we've seen a few volunteers. moments to get things prepared. So you're staying for dinner. What I'm just going to ask you to do is just if you want to hang out, we got some things that we got to tear down up here, and we got some tables and stuff we got to move in the other room. But it'll be give us about 15-20 minutes, and then we'll be ready to have dinner if you're staying. If you're not staying, be blessed. Thank you for being here. We enjoyed you visiting with us, and we look forward to having you back next week if you come back. Be blessed. Have a great day. We'll talk to you soon. We'll